When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wild card playoffs start tonight, BT. We know about the Mets win. We'll take more of your calls on that. Of course, a great game yesterday. All-time great game yesterday. Great moment with Francisco Lindor. Mets punch their ticket and get underway tonight. Later on this afternoon, 5:30 start for the Mets. I don't think I like the wild card setup the way that it is, although it is better than the one-game elimination. What I would say is I think in this particular series, the Mets would have a better chance of winning a one game, in my mind, winning a one game winner take all versus best of three with Milwaukee. I think it's a rough matchup for the Mets.
I don't love the matchup either. The Brewers just put a lot of stress on you, and we saw that last series. Now, and that's why they're a dangerous team. And it's not an exact replication, obviously, but this Brewers team feels a little bit like those Cardinal teams early in the 80s that ran a lot, Whitey Herzog's teams. Yeah. And, that's a dangerous combination because, one thing we've seen this with the Yankees for years, when the home run's not there, when you are so reliant on the long ball and you start to face good pitching in October, it dries up a bit, can you manufacture runs? Well, that could be a little problematic here for the Mets, but because they won the first game, and again, I don't love the matchup either, but because they won the first game, the pitching is lined up, so you've got Seve. They have not announced game two or three.
They have a Manaea normal day tomorrow.
Yeah, and Quintana, I believe they said on the post-game show, I think Gary and Zeal and those guys were saying yesterday, they think it's going to be Quintana game three. He's pitched well lately. I mean, I don't know. If you think, and I don't mean inferior literally, but I'm just going to go with it now. If you think you're the inferior team, right, would you rather have one shot and maybe get lucky or have multiple shots and stretch this thing out? If you're inferior, I know what you mean. Like, maybe I get one lucky shot and I clip them and I win. From the Mets' perspective, I would rather play more baseball. The more these Mets play, I think the more chance they have for their character to come out.
I wish the wild card. Now, I don't know if they're ever going to. And I don't want more expansion.
No, God, but.
And there should be a premium on winning the division, but and winning, being a top record in baseball, so you have the bye, so you don't have to mess around in the wild card round. Clearly, the Brewers are division winners, and they have to play a wild card round. They get all three games at home. We saw that it didn't work out for the Mets a couple years ago. But I almost feel like it's so sudden. Yes, the one-game wild card was more sudden, but still, best of three. And then even if you advance, a best of five, I at the very least, what I would like to see is the DS go to best of seven. But I don't know if they're going to do that either.
Baseball. It's already stretched out to November 2nd, Sal.
Well, short in the regular World season. Series. The regular season has been minimized anyway.
I've said that for years. So, I would be fine shaving off 10, 12 games.
And if you're going to have it, if you shave off the regular season, you could also have the wild card round be the best of five. Then you have the every other series.
With travel.
Yeah, all right.
In the wild card.
Right, well, then you give it. Yeah, now, again, I don't want to minimize winning the divisions, and there has to be more thought to this.
Yep.
But the way that it used to be, it was a clear disadvantage to a wild card team. Now it's a little less of a disadvantage to a wild card team because you have the three games as opposed to one, even though they're all on the road. I still don't know if I love it. It's a long season. I mean, the Mets just played a grueling 162-game season, and now they turn around tonight, and it's the best of three, and that's it. Like, you make the postseason, great. Before you get in, you're almost out.
I know.
You lose two games here, that's it.
It's also unique circumstances. The weather, I mean, it's not going to be like this all the time. If the Mets would have, either finished the series, the season conventionally, and there was no weather interruptions, and they didn't need yesterday, well, guess what? They're more prepared to play today. And we're not talking about this. It might not be centrally on our minds. It just feels rushed and stuffed in there because of the weather, which you obviously can't manipulate.
But also, BT, you're right. That feels rushed. But also, the sport has now clearly minimized the regular season, right? Nobody's going to debate that. And in the postseason, it's such a crapshoot. Wouldn't you rather the regular season mean more and have the better teams throughout the course of the regular season have a better chance to win in the postseason? Meaning, if you play more seven-game series, a lot of these upsets happen because it's a three-game wild-card round and because it's a five-game division series.
Yeah.
If you were to play maybe a five-game wild-card round and a best of seven throughout, mm-hmm. now you're the odds of having the better teams move on.
I know what you're saying. It increases theoretically. The problem is the pitching and the limitations that they want to keep on these arms. I mean, they're already maxed out. That's why, again, now the other conversation, and not for today, but you'd have to really get into this. If you ever shave games off the regular season, well, now you've got some purists who will protest, well, what about the record books?
Yeah, true.
And there's always something downstream that's going to resurface here, and baseball is going to try to protect that lineage. So I don't know that there's really a perfect answer, and you know what? Who cares? Mets are playing 163rd game today.
Jeff is in Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
how you
Jeff.
Doing?
What's up, man?
All right. Oh, good. So, very excited about the game yesterday. I do have to agree with Sal. The only thing would have made it better would have been to finish the job and win that second game. But I understand they're Mets players. They're human. They were obviously a little bit, drained after that first game. I was drained. I know it probably took about 10 years off my life, being a Mets fan since 73. I think that was the best regular season game ever. And I think Lindor has reached status where he is probably the best position player the Mets have seen, competing with Piazza. And again, I love Alonso. I'm a big Alonso fan. My son has a huge thing on his wall about Alonso. He had a couple of situations yesterday again to come up and make his mark. Let me go two in a doubleheader. One right after the Nimmo home run. Remember, they took out Iglesias and they brought in another pitcher to try and save him for the second game. They brought in a lefty. He could have hit a back-to-back home run and really put the nail in the coffin. And then in the second game...
Yeah, he comes up with first and third. Yep. Yeah, he messed
right.
up. Pete has had multiple opportunities this final week of the season and yesterday, of course, and he's done nothing with it.
Oh, remember the Friday night at City Field? Bases loaded?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was at the last home game with my wife. That he got three or four standing ovations. I love Pete. I just don't know what it is. And maybe finally now with... They're in the postseason. The regular season's
over.
Oh,
come on. No. Jeff, I can't do it. And thank you for the call. No. Now, he could. Theoretically, he could. The season's over. The season has come and gone. He's had multiple opportunities, even this last week, even yesterday in a game that didn't even mean anything. There wasn't any pressure in game two for the Mets. Hit a home run. Put the Braves out. Put the nail in their coffin. I know for me, if I were Pete and they prevented me from celebrating a couple years ago and they embarrassed me, I'd want to go deep in that spot or do some damage. Pete does nothing. I will give him credit. Yesterday, I thought he played a good defensive game.
He did.
But come on. Like, get a big head for once. Good God, all year long. If I were to tell you the Mets would make the postseason with Pete Alonso basically being at minimal impact at best,
yeah.
Think about how crazy that is.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you think about going into the season, okay, because we didn't, Lindor hadn't quite done this, even in 30 for 30, I understood, but this was a new level for Lindor here. The two things that if you wrote down on a piece of paper and presented to us the day before the start of the regular season, Senga will miss basically the entire season, and Pete Alonso will do this. I mean, how in the world is this team doing anything?
Yeah. No Senga, no Raley. Here's what McNeil's going to do. Here's what Alonso's going to do.
Honestly.
Here's what Nimmo's going to do.
Alvarez, most of the season.
Alvarez, right. I mean, the expectation was Alvarez getting 25 homers minimum.
I know.
He was hurt, and then when he came back, he wasn't. How the hell did they do it?
Martinez hit basically 210 for the last 3-4 months of the season.
Yeah. Well, one reason how they did it was Iglesias far outperformed anything that you could have ever expected.
Yes. Even,
like, Iglesias had a better year than the highest expectations of McNeil.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Which is insane.
That's
to think
absolutely
about
true.
That. And then obviously the pitching.
Man, he was awesome.
Yeah.
He's easy to root for.
Dude, 22 game hit streak.
I know.
He's going to carry over the next year.
He's going along. It's insane.
Where's he playing next year?
Probably playing. Where does he play? He's going to be on the Mets, that's for sure. There's no way the Mets can let him go.
I would think as a backup.
He's got to be here.
I know,
but he's
not going to be a starting second baseman.
Play a little second, a little third. I mean, play everywhere, right? Bounce around a little bit, sure.
22-game hit streak for Iglesias.
Incredible.
Yeah. He's been remarkable. Chris is in Vernon, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, bud.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First-time caller.
All right, Chris.
I have a question. So yesterday, we had so many ups and downs, ebb and flows, so many stars, so many people we could... I think the most underrated part of the aspect of the game was when Nimmo hit that home run. That forced Atlanta to take their closer out. What do you guys think about that? Nobody's really been talking about that.
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
They took him out so that maybe save him for game two, but then they came back and they had no closer to rely on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's just, that kind of gets lost in the equation. Is there's so many things that happened. Not that we didn't think it was important. We just, I don't know that it really needed to be mentioned. We know what happened.
Well, yeah, and Nimmo hits the home run.
That ball smoked, too.
He hammered it. Who cares about the Braves' closer at that particular point? Like, I wasn't worried about it. At that point, you're thinking the Mets are winning the game. We weren't thinking Edwin Diaz is going to blow that
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Well,
Nimmo hits a home run. I swear to you, it never crossed my mind, not once, that the Mets are going to blow that game. Now, maybe that's just...
Even after he was that shaky the previous inning?
No. Nimmo hit it.
Oh, it's about, yeah. I got you.
You're right. Nimmo's home run gives the Mets a 3-run lead. I'm thinking, this game is over.
Yeah.
That's it. The Braves are done. So I wasn't worried about knocking the closer out of the game. But sure, I mean, there was no longer a purpose for Rossell Iglesias to be in the game after Nimmo hits the home run. What do you want him to do? Ride him out? I mean, that's it.
Throw 50 pitches?
He got knocked out of the game.
Now, Diaz can't pitch tonight. Would he throw 40 and 20-something the day before?
I don't know. I would.
I don't know if you want to use him tonight, man. Well, his velo is down a little bit.
You don't want to, but let me paint the scenario.
Good.
I mean, the Mets have a one-run lead in the ninth inning. What are you doing? And what I'm doing is I'm going to the whip and telling him, all right, big boy, you were so tough yesterday, go do it again.
Yeah, you probably have to do that.
And then let it play out the way that it does the rest of the series. Maybe you don't need him tomorrow.
I guess you got to ride the horse, but I wouldn't feel very good about that. I mean, 70 pitches in two innings in 2 days?
I know, but if the circumstance calls for it.
Yeah, I got you. I hear you.
I'd be fascinated to see what they do. Now, sometimes these things work themselves out. The circumstance won't call for it. Maybe the Mets lose tonight, or maybe they have a big lead, and they try to avoid having to go to Diaz. But if it's a one-run lead in the ninth.
Can I tell you something? So, what was the most pivotal point of the game yesterday? What changed everything? I know there's a few answers.
Yeah, you're going to say the Tyrone Taylor double?
Yeah. The at-bat. The 11-pitch at-bat, right?
Just gave them life. But really, the Braves taking Schwellenbach out of the game.
Well, but that pretty much, yeah. I mean, that forced him to come out. Yeah. I mean, that 11 pitches there. I did something. I can't remember the last time I did this. I was actually driving home. And I'm listening to Howie on 880, listening to the game. I pulled over, and I don't feel this. I've told you this. I don't feel this incessant need to tweet, like when I'm watching a game, or I just don't. I mean, this is what we have a show for. I'll pop in here and there, but I'm not married to social media. I get paid to give opinions on the air, right? But I pulled over, and I had to acknowledge that at bat. I don't know why, but for some reason, when just listening to the description of the app, now I'm not seeing it, I'm listening to it. I pull over, and I just tweeted, incredible, whatever I said, like 3 or 4 or 5 words. And it just, I think it's a little bit too easy for me to sit here today and say, that's when I knew they were going to win. I think that's going nuts. But hearing Howie describe it, I just felt compelled to pull over, like that, the whole game changed. That was it.
It gave them life.
Changed everything.
And it's very easy to talk about Diaz, Lindor, even the Nimmo home run, Iglesias. Tyrone Taylor is a winning baseball player. He's been making winning plays. Even when you watch him catch a ball and fire it into the right base on a line, like he's just a winning ball player. And to that, I give credit to David Stearns, because we look at Stearns, and I think a lot of people think, well, you know, analytical, whatever, you know, one of those nerds in the front office. He's not that. David Stearns is the combination of brilliant mind, meaning he could use analytics, but also a baseball guy. He traded for Tyrone Taylor, who he had in Milwaukee, and knowing the importance of a ball player like that. The dude's a gamer. We talked about it yesterday before the game. How much we love Tyrone Taylor. He's a ball player, a winning ball player at that. You put him in the lineup, good things are going to happen. And that was a huge at-bat that gave the Mets life, finally.
Oh, my God. It lifted him up. If you listen to yesterday's show, you know, the Free Odyssey app, obviously, when we're going over the lineups and we acknowledge him, we both like the fact that he was in there. Like, in real time, we're like, all right, we like this. This is the kind of player and presence you want in a game like this. We felt good about it.
He's got to be in there. Michael's in Saratoga Springs. What's up, Michael?
Yeah, I guess you guys already brought up the Nimmo throwing shade at Harris, which I absolutely loved and had to rewind to go back. So I guess I just bring up the home runs during the regular season, things I can remember, actually, because I remember Strawberry hitting home runs in, like, July 4th during fireworks night, Cespedes off. I think it was Washington late in the season, which was, like, a big home run. Piazza off Wagner is a big one, too, that I remember. And the one in that 9-run inning that I can remember. David Wright's had a few. The other thing I wanted to bring up.
But those are all nice homers. Those are all nice home runs, Michael. None of those.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, agreed. Compared to what Lindor did yesterday.
Okay. I mean, the Piazza one was the closest to me because it was a 9-run inning. And he hit it. I just got in the house to see it in the hit.
Yeah, I remember.
Gary Thorne was in the game. But I was going to say, Senga, is he on the roster? Is he been?
It's a good question. Actually,
I don't know.
I'll find out that today. And thank you for the call, Michael. Appreciate you checking in. It's actually a good question. I haven't seen anybody report that.
I think he's shut down, but I can't confirm that. It just doesn't seem like he's coming
back.
Here's
the thing with Senga. I'm not sure his desire to pitch. It's been something with him all year long. And, like, if I'm the Mets at this point, like, get the hell out of the way. Let us do what we got to do. We got here without you. There is appeal there, certainly.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that I don't think Senga wanted to make it back in time.
I can't go there. I don't know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he seems, you know, most Japanese players are incredibly prideful. I don't know. It's unfortunate. And listen, even if he was right, and or if he was able to get right, I'm not saying to give him the baseball, but to start a game, hey, coming out of the bullpen, get a few outs with that ghost ball.
I love
if he's available.
I love the signing of Senga, and I love watching him pitch.
Yeah,
there is a lot of stuff that I have heard this year that makes me immediately want to trade Kodai Senga. Oh, and by the way, he has not he's just not pitching. So I'm not saying he didn't get hurt.
But he's one of those guys who's got to have everything perfect for him. Basically, if the circumstances aren't perfect, he can't push it. Is that what you're saying? There's a lot of guys like that. Mike Mussina was, he might be hurt. I don't know.
And he was going to come back.
But he got hurt.
He wasn't. No. And then what? The tricep. Enough, dude. Enough.
Well, I don't know. He might be hurt, Sal. Let's give the guy a little. You don't think he's hurt?
Again, I'm not pulling this out of thin air.
I got you.
I'm hearing things that aren't things that you want to hear about a ball player. Mm. And bottom line is the Mets have won without him. So imagine now turning the season over. He's not pitching game one.
No.
He's not pitching game two.
No way.
So imagine there is a game three elimination game. You're going to turn him over to Kodai Senga?
No, I'm saying bullpen. If anything, you get a couple out. No way. You don't give him a start. Yeah, there's no chance.
I think his season is over. Again, I don't know. I'd be curious to see what they do with him, but I wouldn't expect to see Kodai Senga moving forward. But the turning point goes back to last year, where Billy Epler, then GM Billy Epler, and probably because Steve Cohen allowed him to, made the decision to trade Scherzer and Verlander. Somehow had a sucker to find Max Scherzer with the Texas Rangers, and then also deciding to trade Justin Verlander, a move that I was like, I don't know if I like, because who's going to pitch next year? And it was really symbolic of the Mets starting a rebuild to a certain extent. Justin Verlander is not even making the Astros wild card roster.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Not only did the Mets now are they're off the hook for the money because Verlander didn't hit the innings that he would need to hit to have the Mets have to pick up that option, but no Scherzer, no Verlander. The Mets are in the postseason, money coming off the books. You trace it back to last year, the moves that they made at the deadline when Cohen realized, you know what, this is not right. This is not the right way to do it. I made a mistake. I'm learning here on the fly. We're going to pivot. And they did. And now they've been in the postseason two out of the last 3 years, and they are set up to succeed, finally, to have sustained success. How it will play out, who the hell knows? They actually have to do it. But I really do think you trace it back to last year's trade deadline when they made the decision to pivot and go in a different direction, and now they've won and are set up beautifully going into the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, there's some dots that connect to the future. I don't know if I'm as bullish on their future being such a seamless transition, because I think there's a lot of pieces that are playing now that aren't going to be back and or as influential on the season. And when that happens, I don't know that the replacements will be as good. They might be better. Now, that's the possibility as well. But you've got to resolve Pete's situation. I think right field's still a big question mark. Who's playing center field? You know, is Vientos the third baseman of the future? What about this? Those are real conversations I don't even want to have now because it takes away from the enjoyment of where the Mets are. What I will say, and what's in front of them these now, hopefully next couple of weeks, what I will say is that the Mets have managed to do something that is elusive for so many franchises. They're concurrently rebuilding in a way, but also pushing forward. Generally, when you rebuild, you strip down, you take it on the chin, and it's painful. the Mets, based on the decision to buy, to eat some money, and then that's the prowess of Cohen. With the contracts that you just talked about, that enabled them to restock the cupboards, and now here's Acuna, and maybe Gilbert, and maybe some others down the road. So it's an interesting line that they've straddled. It's very hard to do, and so far they've done it well.
Yeah, I mean, look, who knows what's going to happen in the future, but you can't be better set up than they are. And I'm with you, like, the Iglesias stuff, is that sustainable?
Probably. I think you could be. What do you mean you can't be better set up than they are? I would disagree with that. What do you mean by that?
They have the richest owner in the sport, and they have all this money coming off the books and available to spend with a solid foundation in place.
Yeah, I would still push back on just how solid the foundation is. Well, I mean, I'm not talking about Lindor.
Yeah, well,
I don't mean that.
But he's the key piece. They also have young guys like Acuna look to be a player. Now, again,
understood.
Are these guys going to play out? Who the hell knows? But at least they have a farm system that is in much better shape than it was a year ago. And to me, more so the resources financially, where they don't have to worry about the luxury tax threshold. They got David Stearns running things, who has proven to be, he showed his worth in just 1 year. Could they have better players? Sure. But they're going to get better players with that money and hopefully developing some of these guys. But it would be a lot worse if they had to pay Verlander's money, if they still were tied down with Verlander or Scherzer. They're in the postseason. It's been 2 out of 3 years in the postseason. And all that dead money coming off the books, now they can spend it, spend a lot of it, and spend it wisely because they have David Stearns in place.
Listen, there's definitely some advantages. There's no doubt. I think we just disagree on just how stable the foundation is now, but it's really immaterial to the conversation today. Well, what they've done is it's very hard to do. I mean, so many teams have tried to do that. Think about how many times the Knicks tried to do that.
Yeah.
All the years the Knicks tried to rebuild, and it was a painful, eyesore, disjointed product. The Mets are playing playoff games, and they're also rebuilding simultaneously.
Right.
And by the way, you know, Alvarez and Vientos.
Yep.
And these younger players are getting real playoff reps. I mean, it's good.
And do you know why they're in this spot today as we sit here and get ready for a wild card round?
Do I know why?
Yes, the primary reason why this franchise is in a spot tonight, we're going to get to watch a playoff game.
Well, I'm going to let you have a little fun here. Do I get some trumpets here? Not Timmy trumpets.
No.
Do I get some...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Some Cohen. Am I about to hear something here?
There's one reason why.
Yeah.
Ken Cohen has delivered. He said postseason. We mocked and laughed and doubted. And the King delivered. Not only has he delivered a postseason appearance for the second time in 3 years, he smartly got rid of Verlander and Scherzer and has got all the money in the world to go after whoever the King desires, whether it be Soto, Adamas, Burns, whoever. The Mets are in prime position, BT, thanks to King Cohen.
That was fun.
You see, I couldn't just enjoy the show today. See, this is what you do to me now. Now I'm going to have to start rooting against you. I mean, this is what's going to happen. I don't want this to happen.
Ooh.
I really don't want this to happen. I don't. But when you get all giddy, and I appreciate the giddiness. Mm. You've earned it. Mm. Of course, as Sal often does with many things, takes it 3 steps too far because Soto's not here yet. You haven't won a playoff game yet. You sure as hell haven't won the World Series yet. But get out the red carpet, blast those trumpets, you know, genuflect to the King if that's what you need to do. Just remember, the Yankees are chilling and relaxing while you guys are sweating starting today at 5:30.
It is a time to appreciate what the King has provided. You have to enjoy. I wasn't planning that, but the more I think about it, hey, look, one thing he did say yesterday, too, and it was great to see Steve Cohen out there, they were asking about, hey, if you win the World Series, this is technically year five, so it's, or whatever, it's within that window.
Oh, what, so, yeah, what he said, the, yeah, and
he's like,
there, yeah.
Remember, because he took that back. He's like, I wish I could, if he I could take one thing back, I wish I could take that back.
Yeah, even he wasn't sure.
And then he was just...
Met fans getting on me, your owner didn't even think you were going
to
do it.
That's what I'm saying, the King should have just... Steadfast. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah, the king flinched.
I said 3 to 5 years, and I stand by that. Yeah,
the real kings don't flinch. They flex.
He produced, and he may be flexing when all is said and done. Whether they win in that window or not, they are set up for sustained success. Geyser is calling from Middletown, New Jersey. Geyser?
Hi, it's Geyser.
Geyser, okay,
you were close.
Wasn't sure. Geyser.
somebody talked about it earlier, about that Tyrod Taylor. Tyron Taylor walk, because I'm a little older than you guys, so I was having images of Mike Scott, 1986.
We brought that up yesterday. We brought it up yesterday, Mike Scott.
No, Schwellenbach. I mean, we just couldn't hit this guy all year.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very important to make him throw those pitches. And
massive.
Got him out of the game, and Gary and Ron were pointing out how we had pretty good success against their bullpen. So I thought that was, you know, a subtle point, but a big part of the game.
Yeah.
And one other thing. Again, I'm 69, so I am older. But if you look back at the Mets season 1973, they were 9 games out on August 30th and won the division. So...
Yeah, well, this year they're lucky they had, and thank you for the call, Gaze. They're That's lucky great. That they had the third wild card, because
yeah.
they won't win anything without that third wild card. Think about, I mean, we talk about the history of the Mets and not being in the postseason. This is just the 11th time since 1962.
That in itself is amazing. 11.
You know it's a problem Oof. When you can name every year that the franchise you root for has been in the postseason.
That's true.
Can you do it real quick with the Mets? Would you know?
Yeah, okay. So, let's see. 69, yep. 73... Yep. 86,
yep.
88,
yep.
should have beat the Dodgers yeah. there, 99, did we yep. jump to 99, yep. that's 5, 2000,
6, 5 more,
I know, that's 6 right there, 01, no, wait, 01, no, 06,
yes, 06, where we had that 7, right,
07 you guys collapsed, right? So now we're up to 7. So we got 06 there. Obviously, 2015, I'm just yep. jumping around. 2022, 2024. I'm missing one.
2016.
That's right, 2016.
So, and you know you've heard me talk about it, but think about how you just did that off the top of your head real quick.
Think
and
about
you're not
that.
A Met fan, so
That's
like
crazy.
For Met fans, it's ingrained in
yeah,
you.
Yeah, for sure. For
Even
sure.
the years before I was born or around, like, which, by the way, they've been now in the postseason, I guess. I'm trying to think of more that like the games that I would go to starting in 99. I wasn't around to go to games in 86.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just a little kid. But right, 99, 2000, 2006, 2015, 2016, twice in their history.
Back to been, back.
Yeah, which that's, was 99 and 2000 and 2015 and 16.
That's the ridiculous part of it. It really is.
But also now it should be more frequent because of the expanded and extra postseason spot.
And it wasn't even easy for the Brooklyn Dodgers, if you think about it. Right, really. Like, the Dodgers, like, they kept losing. They finally cracked through in 1955.
Right.
When they won the World Series, but it was always about next year. So even the National League team that left, it wasn't even easy for them. Like, there's just something about the pursuit of greatness by these National League baseball teams that is not easy.
The Mets have a chance over the next decade to have the best in franchise history, the best decade in franchise history. Like, they've had spurts. 69, obviously, great. I wasn't around for it, but I know all about the history of it.
Yep.
86, great. Different, but great. And those are just the years they won the World Series. And they've had some good runs in the postseason, but the sustained success just has not been there.
No.
And
no.
over the course, the way that they're set up, now again, they have to actually do it, but because of the playoff format the way that it is, the Mets with their new owner, the resources, and where they're set up, we should be now... entering or in the beginning stages of the best time in franchise history.
I have a question for you that I want to do coming up.
Okay.
And you know who it's about? It's about Soto.
Okay.
A little special twist for you.
Soto.
I'm going to ask you that at some point coming up the next couple of segments.
Okay.
I'm going to save that,
all
right?
I look forward to it.
All right.
Soto's an afterthought at the moment, but I look forward to it.
You'll like it.
BT. No, no, I'm saying, like, in my mind, man, I'm excited right now.
You'll like this. You'll enjoy it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We have a little Bald Face Truth, Bald Face Lie. We'll get Hoff involved.
Now, time for Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, here we go. Off, take it away. A little Bald Face Truth, Bald Face Lie, postseason edition.
All right. Well, listen, JD Martinez has been a little slumpy lately, but he may play. But, you know, we'll start this with you, Sal. JD Martinez will get over 2.5 hits versus the Brewers in the wild card series.
No, I'm going to go under. Now, we haven't even seen the lineups. We've just seen the rosters here. Got to be honest with you, I'm looking over the roster. How the hell did this team win 89 games? I mean, it is just, when you actually see it on paper like that, whether it's the bullpen or whatever, I'm going to go under that. I just don't trust you. I like JD Martinez personally. Like, I think he's been important to this team, BT. I have no confidence in him at the plate right now. I think that's asking a lot. That's even if he plays in both these games or all three of these games. Yeah. I'm going to go under that.
I'm definitely going under. I'm going to say that's a bold-faced lie. He's not going to go over 2.5 hits. Again, and listen, not to be repetitive, I don't know if he's playing every game. And if he does, I don't really know what he's going to deliver. So, you know, that seems a little ambitious.
Would you have him in there? They're facing a righty in Peralta. Who is it tonight? Is it Peralta?
Peralta.
Yeah.
Peralta's so, going for the Brewers.
Right.
Would I have him in there?
I would not.
No. I don't think. I'd probably have Winker.
I know, but they did yesterday. They had him in there. He's a veteran.
Against the righty.
Winker's been struggling, too.
I know.
Just something about it. I don't know. I don't know what
he's going to do, actually. I don't need to play him.
There's a threat there with Martinez, but it's not enough for me. Plus, he can't move. He doesn't run. I need somebody that could help in other areas. Go ahead.
I got to be honest with you. Jesse Winker looked very inactive last night in the celebration. Like, his hair was perfect. His shirt was barely touched. I'm not really sure if he's ready to play ball.
Yeah. Well, see, if they win this series, he'll be, I'm sure, a wild man, because they couldn't really. It was a subdued celebration yesterday. All right, what's number two?
For BT, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. This is the final series Pete Alonso plays in a New York Mets uniform.
Oh, this is almost a segment. Forget about this. This is the final series. Oh, my goodness. That Pete Alonso plays as a Met.
That's a loaded question.
Oof. I am going to say bald face lie. I'm going to say that I'm not sure that they'll win this series. That's not where I'm going. But I think that they find some common ground on a contract that is doable for both sides. I'm not saying that I would do this, but I believe he's back next year at a very different number and length.
I'm going to say that is a... Look, I hate to even say this, but I just got to be honest with you. I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. More so... Well, not... Yes, the contract. I think this is a bad matchup against Milwaukee. And I feel like at some point, while we love this team and they've been resilient, at some point, like, the Brewers, I think, are just better.
Mm-hmm.
I watched them. I watched them play the Brewers 6 games. I know, does it matter in the regular season what happens now? No, but we just saw it the other day. It's not even going back to all the way to, you know, the first series of the year. We just saw it the other day. And the one game the Mets won was a game where Milwaukee, you know, like, it wasn't like they were going all out to win. I think Milwaukee creates chaos and is going to be a problem. So even if the Mets do win, well, obviously if they win, it's not going to be the last series. But you also have the other factor there with the free agency.
Well, that's how I attacked it.
Yeah, I think there's too many. I don't think he's coming back as a free agent either. So. I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. This is his last series of the Met.
Sorry for the loaded question, but I do.
It's just, I don't want to, you know.
Tough one.
It's a good question. I don't want to be negative and pick against the Mets, but my gut is saying that Milwaukee's going to win a series. I mean,
I'm convinced the Mets are still getting past the Brewers, but this is the one team I didn't want to play. I'll be honest. I'll be on the record for that. Final question. It's not a Mets-related question. It is maybe a playoff-related question because maybe one of the best players to ever play in anything, whether it's playoff or whatever. Unfortunately, Pete Rose passed away yesterday, age of 83. Question, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth to you, Sal Licata. Pete Rose will make the Hall of Fame before Barry Bonds.
I don't think he's getting in, so it's a bald-faced lie. I do not think Pete Rose is ever going to get in the Hall of Fame. Bonds not. It doesn't really matter. Is he going to get in or not? And also, BT, remember with Pete Rose passing, and we talking about Pete Rose recently.
I know.
Watched that special on Max or whatever it is. And I loved Pete Rose as a player. Matter of fact, I went to Cincinnati to see them unveil the statue of Pete Rose. It was the one time I went to check out that ballpark. So I like the history. I don't think he's I don't think he was a good person. We've talked about this.
Uh-huh.
His biggest fear was getting into the Hall of Fame after he died.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
And now no matter what,
yep.
Even if he does get in, obviously he's not going to be around to see it. So it's case closed. Like, Pete Rose and the Hall of Fame, it doesn't matter anymore because he's dead.
Well, matters to his kids, matters to his family.
Yeah, but you think they would even want it? Or you think that
Pete Rose... I can't answer that.
Well, because Pete himself said he didn't... Like, he wanted it while he was alive. He didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they don't put him in, though. So I'm going to say it's a bald face. I forget which one it was, but he's not getting in.
I believe eventually he's going to get in, which is really...
Wow.
It's unfair. I mean, at this point, it's just... You know, Pete is...
Just slap in the face if he gets in now.
He's a complex figure, man. I've interviewed Pete twice. He is very complicated, very dark with certain things. I also think, you know, and first and foremost, rest in peace.
Yep.
But I think he was overrated. I know that's not a very popular opinion today. Like,
shocked that you say that.
Well, if Pete Rose was playing today with no power, how's he perceived?
He probably wouldn't be in the big leagues. Charlie Hustle doesn't make it because of the analytics.
Okay.
But he's an all-time hits leader in the sport.
I understand that. You know, there's something to be said for longevity. He's great. I just, like, when I think of, like, pure hitters, like the greatest pure hitters, I think of, obviously, Ted Williams and Tony Gwynn and Wade Boggs and Ichiro and Rod Carew and healthy Mattingly pre-back and, you know, Miggy Cabrera and Pujols and some of these righties that hit 330, 340. I don't think of Pete Rose. Now, Pete's the ultimate gamer, and he's a champion, and he's a legendary baseball figure.
Nobody's
and again,
coming close to the hit total either.
I agree, but I don't associate the compilation of numbers as the greatest. Like, yes, he literally has the most hits.
Right.
I never thought he was one of the greatest players of all time.
He did win an MVP.
I understand. His OPS is under 800.
Yeah. What is it?
790.
What was his career batting average?
303.
Yeah.
It's not like it's 330.
He
had no home runs.
Played 24 years.
He had no home runs.
To hit 300 for
didn't
playing
steal
24
bases.
Years?
I'm just saying, if Pete Rose was playing today, right, and he hit 303 with 9 home runs, because that's basically what he averaged. He averaged 7 home runs over the course of a season with 60 RBIs. How do we, what kind of player is he? It's not to disparage him, but it's to contextualize.
But
that's just my opinion.
He's not a power.
I can name 30 players who are better than Pete Rose. They're really good. Maybe 50.
He's not a power guy. That's not his strength.
I understand. I mean, George Brett, better. Cal Ripken, better. Derek Jeter, better.
I don't think Cal Ripken was a better player than Pete Rose. Cal Ripken was not a better player than Pete Rose. No way.
Yes, he was.
No
way. He played
way.
He played a more important position.
No
way. Get power.
Way. He was just, Cal Ripken was good. I'm not trying to knock Cal
Ripken. No, you're not.
Listen, we see it differently. I'm shocked that you would say that.
Why? I've always thought this about Pete. I've always thought that Pete Rose was overrated. Just because you play longer than anybody... I don't want to gloss over the actual sheer amount of hits. It's a massive amount. And he's the all-time hits leader. I don't think he's one of the best players of all time.
He led the league in hits 1, 2, 3, 4,
so did Wade Boggs.
5, 6, 7 times.
So did Wade Boggs.
Oh.
How is Pete Rose better than Wade Boggs?
I mean, I'm not saying he's better than Boggs. I said he's better than Cal Ripken, but...
How is he better than Carew? Yeah. Rogers Hornsby, Ty Cobb.
Ah, God.
Come on.
Charlie Hustle.
Okay, so the nickname's phenomenal. Yeah. Great
it's not,
nickname.
It's
got the best nickname of all time.
It's not a nickname. It's what he did. I mean,
come on. He also slid head first, but he didn't have to. Come on.
I mean, what do you mean? Wanted to play hard.
So why is he Charlie Hustle? Because he sprinted down to first base after a walk and he slid into third base when there was no throw?
He was an MVP, a World Series MVP.
Okay.
He was a 17-time All-Star.
I understand that.
Rookie of the Year.
Hank Aaron, yeah. Willie Mays, Babe Ruth,
won
Stan Musial, Chris Speaker,
times,
stop.
Silver Slugger. I mean,
Frank Robinson. Sal.
How he's overrated.
He is.
I just don't get it.
He's overrated.
Now, where you would put him in.
He's not even in my top 30 position players. Bonds. I mean, I could just rattle off name after name.
Yeah. Yeah, these
Trout.
Guys, I'd like to compare it and actually take a deep dive at some point.
Judge.
Oh, God. Mike Trout, please.
Come on.
Oh, come
on. He's a singles hitter.
He's a hitter. He's a ball player.
A slap hitter.
Oh, God. I mean, he played baseball as well as anybody that played baseball. I'm shocked.
I think he's the best player on his team. I think Bench and Morgan were both better.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but nobody in the sport who's ever played has more hits than
I understand
Rose.
That. He's the all-time hits leader.
And it's the name
not
of the
best
game,
player.
Hitting the baseball. I mean,
DiMaggio.
Yeah.
There's a million players better than him.
I get it, but it doesn't mean...
I don't think you do.
It doesn't mean that he's overrated.
I think it does. Because I think there's an association with... Just because you do this, it means you're that. And for me, it doesn't.
But what more would you
want
to see?
He wasn't a great fielder.
Okay, wait. But MVP, check.
How many?
One.
Okay.
Three World Series wins.
Understood.
Silver slugger. Three-time
batting. How many silver sluggers?
One.
About one?
I think so,
you played 20 years.
Three-time batting title.
Okay, Wade Boggs had six.
World Series MVP.
Fantastic.
Two-time Gold Glove winner. 17-time
All-Star. Two-time Gold Glove. Come on, Sal.
17-time All-Star. I'm just saying, like, what more do you want?
If you want to be one of the best, how about seven silver sluggers? Yeah. How about nine Gold Gloves? How about three MVPs?
He checked
the box like the old-timers.
He led the league in hits.
I understand what he did. See, I've thought about this for a long time, and I hate that today's the day to have the day. But, you know, Pete is a, to have this conversation, but Pete is a complex figure who brought about, who brought this upon himself. He just wasn't a good guy.
Well, that's a different
argument.
Just
because somebody dies, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, he was a fantastic human being.
Well, nobody's saying that.
I understand you're not.
An underrated
No, I know. I know. I know you're not. I don't want to twist that. I know you're not. But I also don't want to elevate what he was just because he died.
Yeah.
I mean... There are so many players better than Pete Rose.
Wade Boggs led the league in hits one time.
Wade Boggs. What's his career average?
328.
Okay. Pete Rose is 303.
Yeah, no, I
get
it.
It's not even close.
I get it. Well,
what's Tony Gwynn?
Well, no, it is close.
No, 328 is close to 303.
It's .25 points.
Sal, how many hits is that over the course of a 20-year career?
Not enough. Pete Rose had more.
Sal. I'm saying that like the... A 325 hitter versus a 303 hitter is like Joe Montana and Ryan Tannehill.
He led the league in hits once, Boggs. I'm not minimizing Boggs.
How many silver sluggers does he have?
Eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Mike Schmidt. Didn't even mention Mike Schmidt.
I think Mike Schmidt's a better player.
He is.
Let's see.
George Brett, better.
Cal Ripken. Led the league in hits a robust one time.
Okay, how many home runs does Cal Ripken have?
Yeah, but Pete's not a power hitter.
I know that. All he did was slap singles.
Cal Ripken, .276 career hitter.
Well, I mean, listen. This is obviously subjective, although the stats aren't.
Cal Ripken never led the league in home runs.
I just think that there's a heightened perception of Pete because of the slides and the hustle, which I love guys who hustle. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking hustle. But, you know, Pete Rose influenced the baseball game one way, by slapping singles.
Right, but
he didn't steal. He wasn't a great fielder. He didn't have power.
It just wasn't one way. The guy was
one way.
No, on the base paths. I mean, everything Pete Rose did.
What?
He did whatever he could to win a ball game.
So I understand that. So did Jeter.
Yeah, well, and I love Jeter too.
You start a team tomorrow. You want Jeter or Rose?
I'm biased toward Jeter, but
okay.
I'd probably take Jeter.
You want George Brett or Pete Rose?
Jeter led the league in hits at least twice.
Stats. Do you want George Brett or Pete Rose?
It's tough.
These are easy questions to me.
Yeah,
you want Griffey or you want Pete Rose? DiMaggio or Pete Rose?
Well,
Mantle or Pete Rose?
Well, wait.
Babe Ruth or Pete Rose?
How many World Series
did Griffey? Hank Aaron or Pete Rose?
How many World Series did Griffey win?
None.
What about Brett?
Yeah, but that's the wrong sport to bring up championships.
Well, but Pete Rose was a
winner. First of all, George Brett won.
Yeah, okay.
He's got two, right?
No, one.
You got the one.
Yeah, okay.
Pete
Rose was
a three-time champion. If you give George Brett, Joe Morgan, I mean, come on. And Johnny Bench, instead of Steve Balboni and Frank White at the end, he's got more.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's as good.
You seem shocked that I had this take on Pete Rose.
I'm actually legitimately shocked that you said Pete Rose is overrated.
He is. I've always thought that.
Interesting.
I swear to God. This is not like, hot take, and I don't mean it to be disrespectful. Yeah. The man passed away, but it's not tragic because he's 83. 83 is a great life, and he brought on a lot of problems himself. But Pete Rose is not a top 20 player
Joe
all the time.
Joe is in St. James. What's up, Joe?
And not even close.
Hey, Sal. BT, I'm with you all day on this,
yeah,
man.
It's easy.
Listen, no one's taking away the guy's hustle and heart and drive, but... BT, you echoed my sentiments on why I called. He wasn't even the best player on his team.
Nope.
You take Bench, you take Morgan, and you take Schmidt over Rose all day long.
100%.
What was, and thank you for the call, Joe.
Thanks,
Joe. You have some of the numbers there?
Just looking at like other guys from his team that are Joe Morgan's in the Hall of Fame, his batting average was .271.
But a different position, couple of MVPs as well, power.
Johnny Bench .267.
Greatest catcher of all time.
That's fine. But just the point is when we're talking about hitting wise, going up there and finishing your career with .303 batting average, that's not a joke.
That's why we have the discussion. But yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Now, there's no way to do this because we weren't, you know, watching baseball in the 70s. I mean, Pete Rose coming to bat with two on or Johnny Bench coming to bat with two on? Who are you afraid of? You're afraid of Johnny Bench.
Right.
What are you guys talking about? Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
Why?
Understood, but
one second, because I'm a guy who I think contact is key. If I'm going against a guy like Ichiro, who is clearly a guy, he might be a singles hitter, but he's going to find a way to continue the rally.
Yeah.
Pete Rose didn't do that?
No, he did, but Ichiro also stole 50 bases. Pete Rose didn't run. Ichiro had a rocket from right field. Pete Rose did not. There's other layers here, guys.
Right. No, I get it. But again, if you're going to make contact and keep the ball moving for the next guy, okay.
I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just placing value in other spots.
Well, he does different things.
Understood.
My thing is, you're comparing him to other Hall of Famer, or he's not a Hall of Famer, obviously, Pete. He should be, but
yeah, he definitely should be.
Well, based on what he did on the baseball field.
He's not Ricky Henderson. You want Ricky or you want Pete Rose?
Yeah, but again,
Who do you want?
Who do you
start a team, Ricky or Pete?
I'm just not sure the argument.
Who do you want?
Nobody ever said that Pete Rose is the best player ever. You're saying that he's less than Hall of Famers.
I'm saying he's definitely a Hall of Famer. He should have been in years ago. But if we're going to attach definitive placement in the Hall of Fame, my placement of Pete Rose is a lot lower than yours.
Right.
And that's it. And others.
Right.
I think there's, because of the grand total of the hits, I believe.
That's what he did, though.
I understand that.
That's what he did.
Okay, so.
He led the league. The league in hits 7 times.
Understood.
And you're just like,
I'm not doing that. But because he had five.
But that was his strength.
But it was his only strength. But because he had five.
Oh,
but Sal, think about this.
Sal,
because he had 500 or 600 more hits than some players, think about what those other players had more than him. Hank Aaron.
Right.
It's not even close.
As far as home runs go, yeah.
As far as everything.
He led the league and hit 7. I mean,
why did Pete Rose play 5 positions? Because he wasn't great at anything.
This guy's a gamer.
I mean, I know he was a gamer.
How did he win an MVP?
I'm not sure.
How did he win a World Series MVP?
Because
on
he
a
had
team
the big red machine, one of the most vaunted teams in the history of baseball.
And he wasn't even the best player on that team. But somehow he won the World Series MVP. I don't know how.
Oh, come on, man. Scott Brosch just won the World Series MVP for the Yankees.
Right, well,
what does that mean?
Scott Brosch is not a Hall of Famer.
Understood. But he won the MVP of the World Series.
I'm surprised. I mean, look, where does Pete Rose rank?
Pete Rose to me, including the players now, like from the beginning of time, now it's segregation, that makes it tricky, but from the time baseball was invented, in my opinion, I can make the case that Pete Rose is not even a top 50 player all time.
And a guy played 25 years, led the league and hit 7 times, finished with a career batting average of .303.
Okay.
World Series MVP, multiple World Series, 70 times. I don't understand how that could be overrated. I mean, maybe it's just me because I thought he was one of the all-time greats.
I prioritize different things.
Right.
You know, like the more well-rounded nature to your game. Like, when I asked you, who would you rather have, Ricky or Pete Rose, for you to even think about it, it's stunning. It's Ricky!
Understood.
But you didn't answer me.
Because I just don't like the question. I don't think it's a fair question. What would I rather have?
But how else do we do that? LeBron and Jordan. These conversations always kind of, you know, blow up into these hypotheticals. The only way to address this is with a hypothetical.
Different in basketball.
Nobody was scared of Pete Rose. He wasn't stealing. He wasn't taking a yard. What were you afraid of?
People were scared of Ricky? Come on.
What?
Nobody was scared of Ricky.
Nobody was afraid of Ricky Henderson?
When he gets on the bases, he could be scary, but he wasn't scared of Ricky Henderson.
The moment Ricky dug in the box, the opponents were terrified. He was on third base. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, Ricky Henderson, robust career, .279
batting
because
he
average.
Played forever, and yeah.
Pete Rose. He played 24 years.
Yeah, he did. No, he did play forever, but, you know, Ricky hung on. But, I mean, come on. Ricky at his apex he would destroy Pete Rose.
In what?
Facet of the game.
Not hits.
Better fielder, better run producer, better run generator. Period. Yeah. Next question.
Not hits. I mean, it's selective.
Come on.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best.
What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.